My guest at this time is foreign policy expert Joel C. Rosenberg. He is also the author of an exciting fictional trilogy called the 12th Imam series. The third book in that trilogy, Damascus Countdown, is due out March 5th. We'll be talking a little bit about that series, but also Joel's expertise on Iran and North Korea and the two nuclear programs in those countries, including his reaction to some very recent major headlines. And Joel, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be with you, Greg. Thank you.
We saw, of course, last week reports that North Korea not only conducted a new nuclear test, but a bigger one than we've seen before, and perhaps with uranium rather than plutonium. A lot of that hasn't been confirmed yet, but that's the speculation coming out at this point. Other news reports have revealed that one of the key scientists behind Iran's growing nuclear program, I hope I'm saying this close to correctly, Mohsen Mahabadi, who rarely leaves the country, was actually in North Korea. What do you know that's even more detailed about that, and how significant is it if it's true?
Well, it's very troubling, Greg, because what we've seen here is that everybody knows that Iran is building a nuclear program, and everyone assumes, based on the intelligence that's been gathered so far, that they're building a nuclear weapons program. What has been what hasn't happened in Iran, so far as we know, is an actual nuclear warhead test. And, of course, that's what everyone's waiting for, wondering when will Iran get enough enriched uranium and then, you know, the chutzpah, if you will, to actually test a nuclear weapon. Or will Israel strike first? You know, will some other thing happen to stop Iran from getting the bomb? But what you're raising and what I've been reporting on my blog and in the books that I've been writing, the nonfiction ones, is that North Korea and Iran are working very, very closely. They have been for years. In fact, they even signed an agreement, a treaty, back in 2011 to work on nuclear issues between North Korea and Iran. And what you're referring to is that the chief of Iran's nuclear program was present at the North Korean test of its nuclear warhead just a week or so ago. That is further, I would say, confirmation, but certainly raises further concern that North Korea is actually doing the testing for Iran. In other words, that Iran essentially would be paying for North Korea to be its research and development system, both for ballistic missiles but also for warheads. So Iran might be assembling a bomb right now. We don't know that for sure. But North Korea might be providing the data of how to test it and make sure that it works. And this convergence, this collaboration between Iran and North Korea is exceedingly dangerous for the United States, but clearly also for Israel and for the rest of the Middle East. And this is a major concern for Prime Minister Netanyahu. And, of course, it will be a major focus for President Obama next month when he heads to Israel and the region.
Talk about this a little bit more, Joel. We know, of course, from 2007 and the Israeli strikes on Syria, and we believe that that nuclear technology was from North Korea. So we know North Korea is willing to do this. It's fascinating, though, that an atheistic communist country like North Korea is in cahoots here with the theocratic elements in Iran. What do you make of the connection here?
Well, it is odd, and you would think it was the stuff only of fiction. I've written about it in my novels, weaving it into last year's book, The Tehran Initiative, for example, and the one that, as you mentioned, will come out in March 5th, Damascus Countdown. Because I've been watching the data, I've been watching the reporting, the open source reporting about this collaboration between Iran and North Korea, and began to speculate what would that look like if Iran did take what it learned from North Korea and, in fact, built nuclear weapons and Israel tried to stop them. How might that scenario play out? In reality, you know, what's happening is, yes, it seems odd, but here's the bottom line. Like anything in Washington, we say follow the money. North Korea is starving for cash, but it has nuclear technology and has already tested nuclear weapons several times. Iran, has plenty of cash, not the people, but the government, but it's starving for data, hard data of what a nuclear test looks like without inviting an American or Israeli airstrike before Iran can get its weapons built and ready to launch. So this is a match made in hell. Iran needs North Korea's testing and data, and North Korea needs Iran's cash. And this is why these two regimes, so unlike each other in other ways, have found each other.
What's the right U.S. policy here? There's been diplomatic efforts for 20 years now, at least, with the North Koreans to try and dissuade them from pursuing a nuclear program. We've had tentative deals that have all broken apart. And so is there anything that they're willing to consider in exchange for giving up this program, or is it just too much of a trump card that they hold that they'll never give it up?
I don't believe this current regime in Iran would ever give up its nuclear program. And the reason I say that is because it is driven not just by radical Islam generally. This particular regime, with the Ayatollah Khamenei and President Ahmadinejad, these aren't just radical Muslims, Shia Muslims. They have an eschatology, an end times theology, which tells them that, and they've spoken openly about it, that the end of the world is almost here, that the so-called Islamic Messiah, known as the 12th Imam, is going to come and reveal himself on earth at any moment, and that the way to hasten or accelerate this coming or this appearance of this 12th Imam is to annihilate two countries, Israel, which they call the Little Satan, and the United States, which they call the Great Satan. So from the perspective of the leaders in Tehran, the current leaders, not the people, and not even many in the government more broadly in Tehran, but the leaders believe they are being driven by an end times theology, and there's no way that they're going to back off from that. They want to bring about their so-called Messiah and a global Islamic kingdom or a caliphate that they've been talking about for centuries. So the only way to dissuade them is to eliminate those leaders with a revolution or an assassination, a series of them, or neutralize the Iranian program, nuclear program. And that's where the sanctions have had an enormous effect on making Iranians suffer, but it has only hardened the Iranian government's position on getting the bomb. So it's not having the effect that we want it to have. And you would have to compare the sanctions regime effect with the one we have against North Korea. We have economic sanctions against North Korea for years because of their nuclear activity, and it hasn't stopped them. In fact, it has hardened the North Korean approach, and they have now done, I think it's their third or maybe it's fourth, nuclear tests so far. So I don't think sanctions are going to work. I think that's clear now. Now I think the question is either covert operations, U.S. and Israel perhaps. This is what I speculate about in this new book, Damascus Countdown, or an Israeli or American or joint series of air strikes to destroy, degrade, and neutralize Iran's nuclear sites. And I think we are moving more towards war at this point, not by the United States. It's clear the president doesn't want to go to war, and I'm not saying I want to either, just to be clear. But the question is, what's worse, series of airstrikes against Iran or Iran's radical eschatology-driven leaders having the bomb? So I think Netanyahu is, as we know, seriously considering such airstrikes. And, of course, this is why the president is going to the Middle East, to Israel in particular, next month to have this conversation and figure out what do we do next.
Joel, just about 60 seconds left. You've already given our listeners some clues about this trilogy and the new book coming out, Damascus Countdown, on March 5th. Give them just a little bit more background on what it's all about.
Yeah. The first book in the series is The 12th Imam. I imagine, what if this so-called Islamic Messiah comes to Earth and begins to emerge like they say he will? Second book is the Tehran Initiative. What if Iran gets not just one, but eight nuclear weapons? And the Damascus Countdown is, what if an American president pressures Israel not to strike Iran, but Israel does it anyway? And then what does the blowback look like? How might it spin out of control and even draw in the radical regime in Syria?
Well, a lot of different elements at play in reality and in the novels, which are in many ways based on the current realities. Joel, thank you very much for being with us. Best of wishes with the book.
Thank you, Greg. Good to be with you.
Same here. Joel C. Rosenberg, foreign policy expert, author of a trilogy on all this mess that's building up in the Middle East. The most recent of the three, soon to be released March 5th, is Damascus Countdown. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.